surveillance cameras' signal strength. No small feat in a city constructed almost entirely of stone.
How you doing up there, Joe?
Fine. It was a lie, of course, but it was the expected lie. In fact, the former Delta soldier had recently been shot in a Kabul ambush that had left a hell of a lot of Afghan cops dead, put Mitch Rapp way too close to an explosion of his own making, and forced an agonizing alliance with Louis Gould, the assassin who had killed Rapp's family. Maslach should have been at home, rehabbing his shoulder, but he'd insisted on being included on this op. Bringing him along had been a tough call. The doctors were concerned about permanent nerve damage, but sometimes it was better to get back in the saddle as soon as possible, before doubt could creep in.
Glad to hear you're having such a good time. Right now, our feed looks solid, moving north on a pretty open street. We should be able to stay here for a little while, but be ready to move.
Right. Maslach's one-word answers had nothing to do with what must have been the considerable pain in his arm. He'd always resisted stringing more than two or three together unless it was absolutely necessary. Coleman turned his attention back to the screen secured to the side of the van. The image rocked wildly as the purse the camera was hidden in swung from its owner's hand. Sky, a feral cat lounging on a dumpster, thick ankles overflowing a pair of sensible shoes. The legs and hush puppies belonged to Bibi Kincaid, a plump, gray-haired woman who was the most unlikely employee of his company, SEAL, Demolition and Salvage. She'd spent her adult life as an FBI surveillance expert based on two considerable natural gifts. Her bland features, formless figure, and slightly bowed shuffle made her as anonymous as a fire hydrant. But more important, she had a photographic memory. It was a label that was often thrown around to describe people who didn't forget much, but Bibi was the rare real thing. In fact, it was her flawless memory that had gotten her eased into early retirement by the FBI psychologists. The older she got, the more she struggled to differentiate between things that had happened yesterday and things that had happened years, even decades, ago. To her, the memories were all equally vivid. She was perhaps not bureau material anymore, but Mitch Rapp had been on the phone to her before she'd finished cleaning out her desk. Coleman had to admit that he'd been a little irritated when a woman who reminded him of his mother showed up at his company's nondescript door to thank him not only for the job, but for the generous mental health benefits. As usual, though, Rapp had been right. Bibi was worth her considerable weight in gold. Coleman glanced at a second screen that displayed a satellite image of Istanbul with a single blue dot representing Bibi's position. It suddenly took a hard left and started down a set of stairs toward the waterfront.
Okay, Joe, she's turned east and we're going to lose her. Can we close in?
Old lady gets around, Maslach said, grudging respect audible beneath his irritation at having to wade back into city traffic. Coleman smiled as they pulled away from the curb. His men were all former special forces, primarily SEALs, Delta, and Recon Marines. With the right set of support hose, though, it was possible that Bibi could run them all into the ground. He wedged a foot against his state-of-the-art electronics to keep them from shifting as the van struggled up a rain-slickened hill. On the main monitor, Bibi's camera swept briefly across the man they were following. He wasn't much to look at. 5'8", a slight Asian tilt to his features, and a mediocre suit pulled close against the rain. In reality, though, Vasily Zhutov was the CIA's highest-placed mole in the Russian Foreign Intelligence Service. Codenamed Sitting Bull, he was among the agency's most clandestine and hard-won assets. The problem was that no one was sure if his identity was still a secret. Worse, it wasn't just his cover that had potentially been blown. It was the cover of virtually every CIA asset recruited in the last quarter century. Teams like Coleman's had been deployed across the globe, spread way too thin to do any more than make educated guesses as to who might be targeted. And it was all because of one man, the late Joseph Rick Rickman. Rickman had been stationed in Jalalabad for the last 8 years and had pretty much run the CIA's side of the war in Afghanistan. Word was that he had an IQ just north of 200, and based on Coleman's interactions with the man, he had no reason to dispute that figure. The better part of $1 billion had flowed through Rickman's hands over the years, funding weapons purchases,